Over the weekend, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that if reelected, he plans to annex Israeli settlements in the West Bank. That announcement, which is likely to further complicate peace talks with the Palestinians, marks the prime minister's latest move to turn to the right in the run-up to this week's elections. Polls show a tight race between Prime Minister Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party and the center-left Kahol Lavan party headed by Benny Gantz, a former supreme commander of the Israeli Defense Forces. Judy Maltz is a reporter for Haaretz, and she joins me now from Tel Aviv. Judy, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let's take a step back. What is this election really about? What is on the minds of folks as they cast their ballots?
Well, it's really what it's not about. It's not about many of the things that it used to be about, which was, for example, the cost of living or the peace process. What it's become about, really, is about Benjamin Netanyahu and whether he should continue now for a fifth term, despite all sorts of allegations of corruption currently swirling around him. And the fact that this new party, Kahol Lavan, which you've mentioned, which is a brand new party, it didn't exist even 2 months ago, it already is in a dead heat with Netanyahu's party. That would suggest to me that many, many people don't want Netanyahu around anymore.
Can you tell us a little bit about the new party, the Kahol Lavan, and why is it that they're neck and neck for a new party?
In the past, the other main party in Israel was Labor. Think about it as Republicans and Democrats, with Likud being kind of the equivalent of the Republican Party and Labor being the equivalent of Democrat. Labor has declined a lot in recent years as the Israeli population as a whole has veered more to the right. And it created a vacuum which this new blue-white or Kahol Lavan party is filling. Kahol Lavan is really a centrist party, and that's what they always say, not left, not right, a centrist party. And it's a party that has everything in it, religious, non-religious, right-wingers, left-wingers. It has a relatively large LGBT component as well. So it's a little of everything and not really a whole lot of anything. All we know is they're trying to challenge Benjamin Netanyahu.
And Netanyahu himself said that he supported annexing Israeli settlements in the West Bank. What does that tell us about his strategy right now?
His strategy very clearly right now is to soak up as many votes as he can from the far right parties. There are four or five far right parties that are now running in the election. Each of them is pretty small, but his base of voters, which is the right wing, some of them have gone to these far right parties, whether it's because they're unhappy with all the corruption allegations or other things, or maybe they don't feel Netanyahu is right wing enough for them. He is right now breaking very far to the right to get these voters back to his party or to have them support his party to begin with. And the reason is that he would like to emerge as the largest party, because usually it is the largest party in an election that is assigned by the president to form the next government. So I wouldn't attribute all that much significance to some of the things that he's saying in recent days. He's done this before in previous campaigns where he will make some very, very right-wing comments or pledges that he really doesn't have a lot of intention to fulfill.
We're talking a lot about Netanyahu's strategy to sort of excite the right wing of the party, but he also has the support of President Trump. And I'm wondering whether or not right wing Israelis are feeling emboldened because of that.
Oh, I think they definitely are. I'm not sure he would have been able to say when President Obama was president that he would plan to annex the West Bank. I mean, I don't think he's gone this far before. So, yes, he definitely feels he can get away with certain things so long as President Trump is in power. And the fact is, as far as I know, there hasn't even been a response, an official response from the United States to his remarks.
Arab Israelis are roughly one-fifth of Israel's population. What do we know about how that population could turn out and how they might vote?
In the past, about 50% of Israeli Arabs have voted for Arab parties, and another 50% have voted for the Jewish parties, usually the more left-wing parties. Recent surveys show that there was going to be a very low participation rate, and this would be very good for Netanyahu if there were, because then at least one of these parties that is hovering around the electoral threshold, which is 3.25% of the vote, would not get in. That would mean four less seats for the center-left bloc in the Knesset. In recent days, though, there has been a campaign by a very, very popular Israeli Arab rapper to get out the vote. So it remains to be seen whether he succeeded. If he succeeded, it will be a very big boost for Netanyahu's detractors.
And if Netanyahu is reelected, do we know how that could affect Israel-Palestine negotiations going forward?
It won't be a good thing. He's been in power for 10 years. Nothing has happened. There's been no progress. There have been many setbacks. So I don't think there's any reason for optimism.
Judy Maltz is a reporter with Haaretz, and she joined us ahead of Tuesday's election in Israel. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.